everyone. My name's Chloe. I'm going to be facilitating and chairing this talk and discussion today. Welcome to the final kind of formal session for the Saturday of the Marxism 2018 conference. So if you're in this room, I hope you're here to defend, here for the talk, not to necessarily defend universal basic income, maybe not. Some of you may be, that's fine. That's why this session is in the debate stream, debates, and this is a real live debate on the international left and on the Australian left. Can the universal basic income really be a strategy for equality? So I'm going to introduce our speaker and just get on with that question. Our speaker today is Lewis Todman, and he is a long-term member of the Perth branch of Socialist Alternative. So I'm going to let him speak for a little while, and then there'll be heaps of time for disagreements, debate, discussion, questions. So if you've got some thoughts while he's speaking, please jot them down, and there'll be heaps of time, hopefully, for discussion and questions afterwards. But please make Lewis feel welcome.
So it's not every day that a proposal unites sections of the socialist left with Silicon Valley tech billionaires and the libertarian right. But the universal basic income, or UBI, or basic income, whatever you want to call it, is one such proposal. So, simply put, basic income means that every citizen receives a regular cash payment from the government, regardless of whether they are unemployed or not, whether they are rich and poor, and so rich or poor, and so on. So, to be really clear on what I mean, basic income differs from unemployment benefits like we have in Australia in two key respects. So, one, it doesn't come with any obligations, so you don't need to prove to Centrelink that you're looking for work, attend pointless meetings, or jump through any other hoops. And it should go without saying that socialists obviously support getting rid of these paternalistic demands on the unemployed. And then the second aspect of it is that if you work or if you own a business, you continue to receive the basic income in addition to your wages or profits. This is the case whether you're a childcare worker or a billionaire. The basic income is literally meant to be universal or unconditional. So according to the proponents of the basic income, we are fast heading towards a future where driverless cars and robots will make human labour obsolete, and millions will be thrown on the unemployment scrap heap. But according to them, there's a silver lining. As unemployment rises, the production of material goods will increase dramatically. Work, they argue, should become optional. Instead of condemning people to poverty and misery, everyone can share in the increased production through receiving an unconditional payment. Those who choose to work for some extra cash can do so, while the rest of us can spend our time on artistic pursuits and leisure. Its proponents argue a lot of things that we could probably agree with, that everyone should have the right to eat, regardless of whether they work, that poverty is not the result of the moral failings of the poor, but of economic conditions. They point to trials that prove that people don't only work if they're forced to through by threats of destitution. And they point out that the rich already effectively receive a basic income, their returns on their capital investments, which they get regardless of whether they do any useful labour or not. And finally, as well, that there are many forms of productive social activity like childcare and aged care in the home that aren't paid. And the UBI is undoubtedly gaining in support. So in Finland, they're currently trialling a version of it. Switzerland had a referendum about it a couple of years ago, and it has majority support among under 35s there. It's now party policy for a lot of Greens parties across Europe, and its supporters on the left now extend to Paul Mason, former Greek finance minister Yanis Varoufakis, and even Noam Chomsky kind of threw in a few lines of support for it. Now, on the surface, the universal basic income might sound like the socialist utopia we've been arguing for all weekend. But one thing that should give us pause is the enthusiastic support that the basic income has received from some pretty unsavoury characters. This includes members of the capitalist class like Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, and Richard Branson. It also includes members of the hard libertarian right. And these groups see basic income as a way to attack the welfare state and replace it with a cash payment. As we'll see, the current trial in Finland does exactly that, with a basic income being introduced as part of an austerity package that slashes social spending. Left-wing supporters of basic income, on the other hand, largely see it as a more realistic road to socialism, or post-capitalism, they usually call it. The capitalist road to communism was how one supporter put it. But as I'm going to argue, basic income is neither a road to socialism nor certainly not a realistic one. A basic income that would be affordable to the capitalist class would simply not cover basic living expenses. One that did cover basic living expenses would be so costly that it would take a monumental struggle against capitalism to achieve it. But most importantly, by leaving the power structures of capitalism intact, most fundamentally, the boss's ownership of industry, even a generous basic income would fail to liberate workers. But before I go into that, I just do want to talk about some of the economic arguments that underpin the arguments for a basic income, because I think they're important. So both right-wing and left-wing supporters of the basic income assume that increasing automation, such as robots, driverless cars, and so on, are going to lead us to a future of permanently high unemployment. So Elon Musk and the other tech billionaires view this as a problem because they think that there'll be millions of unemployed people with pitchforks and torches and who won't be able to buy their stuff, is basically what they think. And the left-wing supporters of the UBI think this is a problem, obviously, because it'll lead to mass unemployment and misery, but also because automation, along with Uber, casualisation, other forms of precarious employment, they believe, are permanently weakening working class organisation, leaving unions and strikes behind as relics of the past. And since there's no point fighting the inevitable march of technology, they argue, we may as well embrace it. And for both, they see the introduction of a basic income as the solution to the problem. So Musk and Zuckerberg want to throw us some of the crumbs from their profits so we don't overthrow them. And Yanis Varoufakis and others think that a basic income will strengthen workers' organisation or even serve, as I mentioned before, as a transition to some kind of socialist society. But I think these economic assumptions are wrong. The long-anticipated replacement of people by robots is not going to happen. Every new technology, from the hand loom to the iPhone, has thrown people on the unemployment scrap heap. But it's also created new jobs in the production and the maintenance of the new technology. It's created new expectations, wants and needs and so on. You think of the internet and all sorts of things today. So ultimately, unless we get into science fiction territory with sentient robots doing everything, there's always going to be plenty of jobs that robots can't do. Capitalism also does not favour labour-saving technology for its own sake. New technology is researched and implemented if it's more profitable, not simply if it's more efficient. So, for instance, manufacturing industries in the 1990s profited not by introducing labour-saving technology, but by moving operations to countries with low wages. Massive amounts of investment today go into unproductive things, like advertising and speculation, because they're actually more profitable a lot of the time than investing in technology. And automation itself can also reduce labour costs. So by increasing unemployment, it can put downward pressure on labour, and by lowering the cost of production of consumer goods, it can reduce the cost of providing the same worker with a given standard of living, so it reduces the wages bill for the boss. As for the weakening of union organisation and militancy, I think that's a lot more to do with the strategies of the union movement than changes in the economy. So long as workers produce the profits that keep capitalism going, they have the power to stop work and bring the system to a halt. So, for instance, automation on the docks has drastically reduced the number of workers by orders of magnitude. From a mass of people who literally would lift goods on and off the ships, in WA they called them the lumpers because they lumped goods on and off, to like a very small number of people who operate cranes and, you know, pick up colossally large shipping containers. But that small group of crane operators actually still has the power to tie up millions of dollars in profits. So with that argument out of the way, I wanted to talk a bit about the libertarian right-wing proposals for a basic income. So basically, what the right wants is to see a low-income basic income directly funded by the complete and utter abolition of the welfare state. So one right-wing UBI supporter, Charles Murray, wrote, "The first rule is that basic guaranteed income has to replace everything else. It's not an add-on. There's no more food stamps, no more Medicaid, you just go down the whole list, none of that's left. The government gives money, other human needs are dealt with by the community. I think that's great." I don't. For the free marketeers, it's also optional whether the basic income is even high enough to keep people alive. It's meant to be limited to the amount that they can save from abolishing the welfare state. And this free market wet dream actually has a precedent in a proposal by the fathers of neoliberalism, Friedman and Hayek. So they had a dystopic idea in which the very poor, instead of paying tax, would receive tax, which they called a negative income tax, which would sort of provide a floor below which incomes couldn't fall. But the catch was that this meagre sum would be paid for by the abolition of state-funded healthcare, education, and so on. So the idea is just leave everything to the market, and, yeah, they think that hopefully people will survive. Now, obviously anyone on the left would oppose a proposal like this, but I do think it's worth talking about, because a variation of this libertarian model is something to look out for from governments. It's the most likely type of basic income that we would see from governments in our age of austerity. And so with that in mind, I want to turn to the Finland UBI trial, which demonstrates exactly that. So last year, 2,000 people on unemployment benefits in Finland were randomly selected for this trial. They were put on a 560 euro a month payment. Now, 560 euros a month is not much. It's just over a third of the poverty line in Finland. It's not really a living wage in any way. These people had no obligations to look for work or jump through other hoops, and their payment would not be taken away if they found work. So it's meant to kind of mimic the basic income. This trial is being carried out by the right-wing austerity government of the Centre Party, which has overseen huge cuts to Finland's social services. The stated goal of the trial is to, and I quote, promote employment by incentivising people to accept low-paying and low-productivity jobs. And the scheme is being funded, obviously, by the Centre Party's continuing cuts to social services. Additionally, the trial is unlikely to ever become a true basic income, and it will probably, at most, replace Finland's current unemployment benefits scheme. So it was originally going to include low-paid workers, but in its final form, it was just limited to the unemployed, and obviously it's just about getting them to accept a shitty job. But it gets even worse than that. So if this model did actually replace Finland's unemployment benefits scheme, it would be a pay cut for most unemployed workers in Finland. Finland actually has a relatively generous unemployment scheme that's pegged to how much you earn, you were earning when you were working. And this trial was only carried out on people who hadn't worked before, so were on the lowest amount. So if it were actually extended, it would be a pay cut for most people. But despite all of these terrible problems with it and the fact that it's obviously part of an austerity agenda, the Finland trial has received widespread praise, and most notably from the centre-left. So The Guardian has run a ton of articles lauding it, and they've made much of reports that those on the trial reported lower levels of stress and greater freedom to pursue entrepreneurial projects, which I suppose is The Guardian's end goal. But I think this doesn't tell us anything about whether the scheme would be a good thing if it were extended beyond the 2,000 participants. Obviously, if you're on unemployment benefits and then you get the same amount but you don't have to look for work or do anything else, you would be less stressed. That goes without saying. But I doubt whether that would be the case for people taking a pay cut or who had their essential services cut. Okay, so now I want to look at the supporters of the basic income on the left. Obviously, the left supporters of the basic income don't wish to destroy the welfare state. Rather, or one of the models of it anyway, the most common one that I've come across, is that they see it as a more realistic road to socialism, the capitalist road to communism. Since it leaves the core structures of capitalism intact, bosses' control over the means of production and so on, it's supposedly a more achievable goal than seizing the means of production, strikes, revolutions and all that difficult stuff. But on the other hand, since it will supposedly free workers from being forced to work for a boss, it will, according to the UBI advocates, strengthen their industrial power, improve living standards, and ultimately liberate them by allowing them to exit oppressive, exploitative relations with the boss. Now, for a basic income to deliver on any of these promises, at the very least, it has to be high enough to deliver a bare subsistence income. But the central problem for those who see basic income as the realistic, easy road to socialism is that a basic income high enough to cover basic living expenses would be so immensely costly there'd be no way to introduce it without a colossal challenge to capitalism, if not overthrowing it outright. The closer it gets to the celebrated realism, the less it would deliver a better life for anyone, and vice versa. So I'll give a couple of examples of studies that show this. So French economist Yann Moulier Boutang proposes a basic income of 1,100 euros a month for each citizen without the loss of other entitlements. And this is a bit above the poverty line in France. So this would cost €871 billion, or 35% of France's GDP in extra tax revenue. Now, 35% of GDP is a lot of money. So for comparison, the entire Australian government's budget is 25% of GDP. So you're looking at expropriating phenomenal amounts of wealth if you wanted to introduce a decent basic income. Similarly, a study in the American Socialist Journal Catalyst estimated the cost of a $15,000 a year basic income for adults and half that for children. And it's debatable whether this would cover basic living expenses, but for the sake of argument, they assume that it will. Assuming other things like that effective controls are put in place to prevent capital flight, they estimate a cost of at least 20% of America's GDP in extra tax revenue. So I want to use another example to put this in perspective. It's well known that America's military budget is colossal and totally dwarfs that of any other country in the world. China comes second with about a third of America's military budget. But even America's military budget amounts to only 3.5% of GDP. So if you abolished America's military, even that wouldn't come close to making up the difference that you would need to fund a basic income at a feasible level. You'd need to raise phenomenal amounts of money. So Daniel Zamora, writing in Jacobin, writes, the power relations needed to establish this level of UBI will constitute an exit from capitalism, pure and simple, rendering depictions of UBI as a means of social transformation nonsense. And I think he exaggerates a bit, but I do think that basically any talk of the introduction of a UBI as a transition out of capitalism or as a measure to strengthen workers against their bosses gets things backwards. There would be no way to introduce a livable basic income short of a serious struggle against capitalism from an already powerful and organised working class. So having seen the kind of difficulties involved, many people on the left have then flipped the other way in the search for a realistic basic income and proposed really, really crap levels of support. And these proposals are usually kind of raised as like, more a reform that workers should fight for within capitalism than a transition out of it. These are all too low to meet basic needs, and workers' lives would be drastically improved more if the same amount of money was spent elsewhere. So Guy Standing, who's around the Autonomous in Britain apparently and is a pioneer of the UBI there, defends the low-income version of the basic income. The scheme that he backs amounts to a monthly basic income of £284 that would stand alongside rather than replace most existing social programs. And this is well, well below the poverty line. It's more akin to the Finland one. The predicted results of this are pretty minimal. So in a simulation carried out to assess the feasibility of the plan, child poverty shrank from 16 to 9%. For working-age people, poverty decreased from 13.9 to 12%, and among pensioners from 14.9 to 14.1%. Now, by contrast, an unemployment benefit set at the poverty line would cost about a sixth of that, and it would literally, by definition, lift everyone in the UK out of poverty. So there's not really any reason why workers should raise basic income as a demand, a low one anyway, as opposed to better demands like healthcare, education, higher unemployment benefit, and full employment. So there's another problem that warrants a mention, I think, which is that if a universal basic income were set at a level where it didn't actually improve workers' strength in relation to the boss, it could effectively become a wages subsidy for the boss. So unless the UBI was set at a level where workers' safety net was actually substantially improved and it was therefore easier for them to fight for higher wages, bosses could just reduce wages by the same amount as what workers receive in their basic income packet. This would then mean that taxes were effectively paying for a chunk of the pay packet instead of the boss. So even if the entire basic income were paid for by corporate taxes, then they would effectively get the money back as a wage subsidy. Unless it were higher. So let's say then, for argument's sake, that we did have a workers' movement powerful enough that to expropriate somewhere between 20 and 35% of society's wealth from the capitalist class to redistribute it as a subsistence-level basic income. Now, proponents of the UBI on the left argue that this would make work an optional extra, allowing workers to exit exploitative relations with the boss and constitute a transition to a post-capitalist, whatever that's supposed to mean, or socialist society of genuine human liberation. So let's have a look at whether this claim holds up. It doesn't. The central power relationship, yeah, spoiler. The central power relationship in capitalism comes from bosses' ownership of the means of production. A small minority of people own the mines, the factories, office blocks, the fleets of driverless trucks, and so on. This means we are compelled to work for them. Since they own the means of production and we do not, we are compelled to submit to exploitation and domination if we want a job. Every day when we go to work, we're paid less than what we're worth. The capitalist class pockets the products of our work as profits, further increasing their power, and we have no choice but to accept it. So Yanis Varoufakis in particular and other supporters of the UBI are fond of saying that a basic income would remove this power relationship because workers would then have the option to say no to a boss. He keeps saying that freedom is the freedom to say no, not just to accept any job. But this doesn't really hold up when you think about it. Like, it's not the case in most developed countries today that the alternative to work is literal starvation. There's usually some safety net in place that means unemployed people don't just fall into absolute destitution. But this hasn't abolished capitalism. Workers still agree to be exploited by a boss because they rightly want to get above a bare subsistence level of existence. And this would still be the case if we had a basic income instead of unemployment benefits. Unless it were very, very high, which is almost inconceivable. So, in fact, all of the left-wing proponents of the UBI, though, enthusiastically repeat the argument that workers still will work for bosses if the UBI were implemented. So David Kalnitsky in Catalyst argues that our task is to find a Goldilocks level in between a UBI high enough not to condemn people to poverty, but low enough that they still agree to work. But I think this misses the point. If workers still freely have to agree to be dominated and exploited by a boss so that they rise above a mere subsistence level of survival, then that freedom is pretty illusory. At best, a basic income could raise the floor below which workers would not agree to be exploited, something that unemployment benefits and other services can also do. But I think the most fundamental issue is that workers would still have no say over how societies run and how resources are distributed. If a basic income were implemented. The key decisions about how society is organised are made in the boardrooms and according to what is profitable, not what will meet the needs of humanity. The large mass of people are denied any say over the organisation of society at large. We have no say in whether we threaten the habitability of the planet through rampant climate change and so on. The only freedom that capitalism grants us is the freedom to do what we like with our pay packet. But the universal basic income leaves all of this intact. Genuine liberation does not consist of receiving enough money to survive in a social system where all the key decisions about the running of society are made in boardrooms. Genuine liberation consists in the mass of people taking control of society's resources and democratically deciding how they will be redirected to meet their wants and needs. A basic income simply can't accomplish this because it allows the capitalist class to keep their power. So let's put all of those things together. To fund a basic income that would meet people's most basic needs, we would need to take over a huge, huge portion of society's wealth. This would require a monumental struggle by a powerful workers' movement. The end goal of this struggle would be to allow the capitalist class to keep their power over the means of production, continue to exploit us, continue to make all the decisions about how society's run. We get the freedom that we've always had, the freedom to decide how to spend our pay packet. Even if we get a bit more. So we can see now why someone might, like Elon Musk would get behind the basic income. If capitalism were to reach the super automated, robot-dominated future that he predicts, if there were really robots doing all the work alongside a huge, constantly growing mass of unemployed people, that would actually beg the question, why should Elon Musk own all the robots? Why not have them owned by everyone and then democratically plan how society is to be organised while giving a decent life to everyone? Okay, so I've made a case that basic income shouldn't be a demand that socialists should particularly want to raise or that should be part of a socialist programme, but I think there's a related but separate issue, which is what would our attitude be if it comes up in concrete circumstances, whether it's raised as a demand by people on the left or put on the political agenda in some other way. So I just wanted to list two examples that I think are instructive. So I mentioned before the trial in Finland, where the potential introduction of a UBI there would obviously be part of an austerity package, an attack on workers. I think obviously in that case it's something to oppose. There's another example which I think is a little bit different. So in Switzerland in 2016, there was a referendum held on the UBI, and it was pushed by sort of green types, and excited lots of left-wing people and sort of liberal professionals and so on. It was strongly opposed by the political centre and the right, who argued that it would be too costly and nobody would work, the sort of right-wing arguments you would expect. Now, the referendum itself was kind of a vague proposal that the government should investigate a basic income, but the supporters who are arguing for it argued for quite a generous level that the UBI should be set at. And I think in this context, I think it would be fine to support the referendum. I think a generous UBI wouldn't end capitalism, it wouldn't improve workers' lives as much as spending the money elsewhere, and so on. It wouldn't be as good as a market-run sort of provision of services, obviously, isn't as good as the state providing better social services and so on, but it also wouldn't really hurt if we got more free money. So I think in some circumstances, Ben, I think that a campaign for a decent UBI coming from the left or the unions or some other mass movement, we shouldn't necessarily just be standing on the sidelines saying that it's not going to end capitalism. And related to that is some people just kind of use the term but don't actually mean a universal basic income. Like they're just using it to refer to unemployment benefits where you're not being forced to look for work. And I think that's obviously fine. Okay, so to summarise, the universal basic income is not a strategy for equality. It is not a coincidence that billionaires, libertarian cranks, and austerity governments around the world have embraced the UBI. It keeps the central and most fundamental power relationship in capitalist society, that between the owners of capital and those who work for them, intact. Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg envision a future where robots do all the work, and they own all the robots and make all the profits, and everyone else can just collect the crumbs. Ultimately, the UBI doesn't challenge them at all. Far from being a bold, revolutionary proposal, the UBI aims to preserve what is essential about capitalism by challenging its inessential parts. But there is another possibility. The working class taking back the products of their labour, the wealth of their of society, and using it in democratic fashion to reforge society in their interests. So to summarise, basic income is too basic and not radical enough.